We read once again our theme passage for our 25th anniversary celebration, Psalm 16. This morning, Pastor Vanovolo opened the scriptures in verses 5 and 6, and tonight we look at verses 8 and 9. Reading the scriptures in Psalm 16, a psalm of David. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. May God bless the reading to our hearts. Tonight we look at verses 8 and 9, especially verse 8. And if memory serves me, and it does, this is a favorite passage of our departed sister in the Lord, Nancy Undersma. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. How great is our thankfulness tonight. But as great as is our thankfulness, so also should be our concern for the future. Our thankfulness is great. For 25 years, God has richly blessed this congregation. We can confess together that it was His work and His work alone. God has kept us in His truth. God has kept us as a congregation to be receptive to His word. God has bestowed upon us rich peace. God has given to us a congregation in which we can grow, in which we have made our spiritual home a sanctuary for us. And God has given to us a congregation where we can minister one to each other as saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has done great things for us. So also, Jared, for you and your wife, God has done great things for you. He has tripled the blessing of a child. He surely has bestowed upon you a rich blessing. But with all of these blessings, we also turn tonight to the future, and we think about the future. What about the next 25 years? Should the Lord tarry? Will we be kept faithful? There is a sinful world that is all around us. There is the apostasy of the church today as the end of the world draws near and the coming of Christ, and that wave of apostasy is like a tsunami sweeping all away, it seems. and bringing the world, the church, more and more into conformity with this present world. And then, that is not our greatest enemy. Our greatest enemy remains in ourselves, in our own sinful flesh, with that awful complacency that so easily comes upon us. Will we continue? And then, brother, we look at you with three children in this wicked world and all the trials that will come to you. Will God give to you and your wife always that sufficient grace as you want your children to be raised in his name, to confess him? We look into the future perhaps with some fear. I remember when I had our first child baptized, and often I think of this verse when there's baptism. I think of the Lord's words in Luke 18, verse 8, when he said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith?" It's literally the faith on the earth. Will God preserve me? Will God preserve my children, my grandchildren? Will God preserve this church that we have come to love? We know his promise. Matthew 8, 16, verse 19, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her." But will we be preserved? We answer tonight, yes. Yes, by God's grace. Yes. Yes, in this way. "I have set the Lord before me always. I shall not be moved." Psalm 16 is literally called the Golden Psalm. We have up on the title here, Miktam of David. That's golden. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of joy. And we're going to see tonight that it's especially a messianic psalm. It's a psalm in which the words of Christ are being spoken to us. And that's the ground of our assurance, because Christ is speaking these words. And David in this psalm is giving reasons for his praise. In verse 3, as was noted this morning, he is surrounded by his fellow saints. He has the very best of friends around him. He says, "My goodness does not extend to the Lord, but to my fellow saints in whom is my delight." And that's true of us. We have fellow saints around us. What a blessing. We praise God. He says in verses 5 and 6 that were considered this morning, "Our cup is full. The Lord has maintained our lot. He has given us the best of all inheritance, the treasures of the truth of God, eternal life. He has given, as was said this morning, himself to us." And then the psalmist says that he's satisfied. He's brimming over with this praise. Verse 7, "I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel in the night seasons." He has great joy and confidence. And we ask, what was the secret of his confidence? Why was he so confident? Was it because David at this point in his life had what we would say all that the world could give to offer? Things were going pretty well in his kingdom. Perhaps it was a period in which he was free from troubles and there was outward peace. Was that the reason that he's so filled with praise? Is that the reason for us tonight, that we, so to speak, can't think of anything that we need? The answer to that is no, that was not the case for David. Verse 1, how does he begin? "Preserve me, O God." He felt the need to be preserved. Verse 8, "I shall not be moved," which means that there was things out there shaking him and attempting to move him from his position of confidence. And then, as we'll look a moment later, he plainly is facing death in this psalm. He sees himself in the grave. "My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." He believed that at death he would go to heaven, but he believed that death was imminent. So he was facing troubles. His situation is no different than you and many of us in deep troubles of heart, body, facing death, trials in our life, in our families, in our children, in our marriages. Yes, what he was facing when he wrote this psalm. And yet he's confident. Why? I have set the Lord before me always. I shall not be moved. That's the secret of the Christian life. That's the power of God in us as a parent. I have set the Lord. Set the Lord before you always. And that is what we must do in Georgetown. We must set the Lord before us always. And we shall not be moved. So let's look at that tonight, setting the Lord before us always. And I want to point out to you that this is a believing confession, that this is secondly a constant resolution, and finally, that we are given blessed protection. Now, what does it mean, I have set the Lord before me always? And to answer that question and to see what this truly means, we need to see, first of all, tonight, that these words are, first of all, not David's words, and first of all, they are not our words, but these words, I have set the Lord before me always, are a confession of Jesus Christ. And we know that because in the very first New Testament sermon in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, quotes verses 8 through 11 of Psalm 8 and says, these were always the words of Christ. This, says Peter to the audience that day, explains the force that was behind Jesus of Nazareth. This explains why I can preach to you, says Peter, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, because it was Christ who was speaking in Psalm 16. He says in verse 25, for David speaketh, in this psalm, David speaketh concerning him, the crucified Savior, when he said, Christ said, I foresaw the Lord always before me. It was Christ. David here is under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he's speaking the confession of Jesus Christ. Peter, you remember, goes on in that sermon and says to the crowd, after he quotes from the psalm, he says, you know that the patriarch David, who wrote this psalm, is dead and buried, and his grave is with us today. He was being a prophet, says Peter in verse 30 of Acts 2. He spake of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Christ who said, my soul will not be left in hell. My flesh shall rest in hope. I will come to the right hand of God, where there is pleasures forevermore. So it's, first of all, the confession not of David, not of us, but it is, first of all, the confession of Jesus Christ, and in him and by him, we make the confession ours tonight. I want to emphasize that point. I want to emphasize that point because there is nothing in all the world so inspiring for the child of God than to look by faith to Jesus Christ. And this is the 2020 vision, the theme of our convention. And I would like this to be the theme of our fellowship in the remaining 9 months before that young people's convention. You remember the theme of the convention is taken from Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now you see how that, what did Jesus say? I have set the Lord before me always, looking unto Jesus. Do we have that 20/20 vision? Is your life blurry? Are you 20/400? You're blurred by the things of this life, or you can't see the promises of God because of the trials. 20/20 vision. Looking unto Jesus, who as the Son of God said, I have set the Lord before me always. So what does that mean? It means this. It's a deliberate, conscious resolve of faith to set Jehovah, the mighty only God, to set Jehovah front and center in your life, in your mind, so that all of your senses, all of your desiring, all of your wanting is captive to the reality of God right in front of you. God in sharp focus. 20/20 vision. Always, in every situation, in every trouble, in every joy, in every questioning, in every temptation, in every darkness, I have set the Lord before me always. No distractions, no blurred spiritual visions, not walking astray from the living God, but in every employment, in every responsibility, in every relationship that we're in, I have set the Lord before me. He's in front of me. In every difficulty, never distracted from the Lord. I have set the Lord before me always. Then we are in that unshakable position. As a congregation, Georgetown, in the next years that come, and in all of our life, set the Lord, the sovereign God of our salvation, our faithful Heavenly Father, who's demonstrated that faithfulness to us again in the water of baptism, the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Set him, let him be our focus. Let him be our focus as elders and as deacons and as pastor. Let him be our focus as parents and as married, as youth and boys and girls. And I said that is especially what is true, was true of Jesus, and that's what is so inspiring to us, that as he was in the world, so we, by his grace, might be in this world. And his confession, what was his confession? I have set the Lord before me always. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That what was going on in the Lord's mind and soul in his ministry. You remember, boys and girls, with me, the first recorded words from Jesus? You know what? You remember the first words he said? He was at your age of 12. His first recorded words at the age of 12 were, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know that the Lord is before me, and I have to be about his business?" They had come down to Jerusalem with his parents for the Passover, and his parents had left a day's journey, and Jesus had stayed behind debating with the doctors of the law, and his parents rushed back to Jerusalem and say, "Why have you treated us that way?" And he answers, "The Lord is before me. I have set the Lord before me always." When he entered into Jerusalem, he was thinking about, at the age of 12, the Lord before him and the work that the Lord had given him to do. Boys and girls, you don't wait till you're 20, and you don't wait till you're 30 to set the Lord before you. Jehovah in Christ, you set him right before you. He's the first thing you ever see. my God, how great thou art, my Savior, the first thing you see. Do you remember, beloved, Jesus' prayer life of how his disciples and he would return late at night, weary? His disciples would soon fall off to sleep. Peter would be snoring, perhaps, and he would arise and he would pray. He set the Lord before him always. It was communion with God that was his life. What does it mean to set the Lord before you always? Well, as with him, we do that through prayer. Is God distant from you? Set the Lord before you. Or we think of Jesus in the beginning of his ministry when he was tempted of the devil. And you remember again, children, when it was those three temptations of the bread, make bread out of rocks and cast yourself from the temple and bow down before him, before the devil, and he'd have the kingdoms of this world. You remember how Jesus answered every time? Every time it was the same way. It is written. He used the Bible. He said, this is what is written. He set the Lord before him always. How do we set the Lord before us always? It is written. It is written. Consistently. The Lord was before him. And so as that was seen in the life of Jesus, it must also be seen in us as a congregation, as a father, as parents, as married. And it will be seen in three ways at least. It will be seen in obedience. Obedience to God and to his word. That was certainly true of Jesus. The Father had a perfect work for him. The Father had the will of God that he had to perform to attain God's purposes of our redemption and salvation. For him to set the Lord before him was constantly to do the will of him, he said, that had sent me. He would say to his disciples, I have a meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, to obey my heavenly Father. That is what beat in his heart. God was before him in all of his grace and glory as the God of our salvation. And it was in his heart that he would always, with God before him, obey his heavenly Father. Jesus was no man pleaser. Jesus was no fad follower. Jesus was no man influenced by trends and popularity and what other people thought. He lived by God's face. God's face was in front of him. And so for us to set the Lord before us will be seen in obedience. Obedience. That loving obedience. That obedience which proceeds out of a loving heart that God has given by his grace. And so as a church, that means that we will love the truth and we will teach the truth. The consistory will care for the flock. The deacons will care for the needy. It means that as a congregation, we will continue to make the church the center of our life, that we make this church, this congregation, more and more we see it. When I say we make it, I mean we see it as our church home. We care for each other. And I want to emphasize at this point, especially the work that God has given to us in India. And the preaching of his word and the doing of mercy with our brothers and sisters in India. We did not ask for that work. We did not seek it. It came to us, and God has blessed it. And as parents, I want to emphasize setting the Lord before us, walking the way of his will, will also mean that we continue as parents and families in the way of wisdom and in the way of zeal. to support our Christian schools and to see their preciousness to us. Last Friday, our hearts could not but be moved. It was a moving day when we had Grandparents' Day and we could be with the children. And all the adults were talking to each other and the children were there interacting. What a blessing God has given to us. But to set the Lord before us will mean that He is our strength. And this was certainly the strength for Jesus. This is what made Him strong. And Luke chapter 9 is a passage that describes this when we read that He set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And in that passage, if you read it tonight, the disciples were even afraid of Him. He had set the Lord before him, the Lord's will. He was going to go to Jerusalem. He was strengthened. There was a look in his eyes, a strength in his eyes that caused people on the path to get out of the way. For he would go in the strength of the Lord to the cross to redeem each and every one given to him of his heavenly Father. Think of all that was in front of him, the hatred, the mockery, the physical torments that would come to him, which he knew them. He knew them, each one, but he knew even more that wrath of God that he had to bear for our sins. And he went forward in the strength of the Lord. The Lord was his strength. The Lord was right before him and at his right hand. It made him strong. So our strength is found in one place. It's not in us. We so thank the original group that was formed as this congregation for their love and for their zeal. But it was not in you. It was not in those who joined afterwards. It was not the many faithful office bearers that we have had and the good brothers and sisters that we have enjoyed. And we praise God for all of these things. But that was not the strength. The strength was the Lord. Yesterday we heard of the first consistory. Maybe a few of them had served as deacons. Now they were the whole consistory. And they met together and they said, "What are we going to do?" You heard that yesterday. What did they do? Well, by God's grace, this is what they did. They set the Lord before them. They set the Lord before them. And the Lord bless. That was their strength. And what is it that is before you tonight, looming before your soul? The impossibilities, the cloud that is blotting everything out from you. What is it for us? What will it be for us as a church? What we will confront? The tides of apostasy and all the rest. What will be our strength? What will be the strength for your marriage? What will be the strength of your home? Set the Lord before you always. And you see, that's why we need and we want the church here. By God's grace, we say, "I need it and I want it." And that's why I'm here. We need that preaching of the pure Word of God. We need that. That's how, week after week, the Lord is set before us. And finally, it was a source of great comfort for Jesus that the Lord was before him. Hebrews 12, verse 2, convention theme passage 2020, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. When the Lord was set before him, joy was set before him. And then Moses and Elijah appeared to him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he saw that joy that he saw when the Lord was before him. And who is set before us? The Lord of all glory, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. That's our comfort. Now we must hasten along, and we must see that, therefore, we must make it a constant resolution. I'd like to point out to you that this is an activity of faith, that this is a constant resolution. We read in the verse, I have set the Lord always before me. I, by the grace of God, this is an activity. This is what I have set. That is, he's done this in the past by the grace of God. We'll say it's similar to making confession of faith. I have set the Lord always before me. The resolution is, by God's grace, this is what I have confessed and resolved to do, and I am resolved to carry it through. I will always, always do this. It's a determination of faith through grace. The psalmist is saying, I'm not going to waver. I shall not be moved from this. I'm not turning my eyes from the Lord. I'm not turning my thoughts from the Lord. My whole desire in my life is that all of my senses, and that means especially my heart, my faith, that always the Lord be before me, and I waver not from looking to him. It's a conscious, continual activity of faith. Now the Lord, beloved, is before us. He's before you, whether you're aware or not. And this is a marvelous truth that does not lead to carelessness in the child of God, but to adoration of our Heavenly Father, that even when we are not mindful of him at all, he is before us and ever mindful of us. He is always before us. But there are examples of what happens to the child of God when we do not set the Lord before us always. You remember with me in the life of Jacob when as a young man he thought he could do it. And that got him into one mess after another till finally he had to flee from his family. Esau was going to kill him. The Lord was not in front of him when he started his journey out. He was afraid, dead afraid. Esau's were everywhere in the bushes. And he fell asleep, you remember, made the bed of rocks. And the Lord appeared to him in that ladder of the angels ascending and descending, and God brought him back to the awareness, it is the Lord, Jacob, that is ever before you in his faithfulness. And Jacob awoke, and he said, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He committed himself, and again, to that faithful walk with God, he headed off to Haran with a new spring in his steps because the Lord was before him. But he had forgotten. He had walked in his own strength. He was too busy as a young man doing the right things by his own strength. And he didn't even see the Lord. It was a time that David, the Lord was not before his eyes. He had turned his eyes from the Lord long before. That night he went up to the roof and he looked out and he saw before him Bathsheba. And he fell into sin. He didn't arise from prayer from his bed. I have put the Lord before me. But there's also examples when by God's grace we put the Lord before us. You remember Elijah 1 Kings chapter 17, when he appears to Ahab and Jezebel, he's a man from the other side of Jordan. He's a rough man with a rough mantle. He comes into an imperial palace before a king and a queen who have been killing the prophets of God. He marches right in to the throne room, and he says, "The God before whom I stand, I'm right in front of God, says, no rain, but by my word." And he departs. Israel on that day had broken. They had not worshipped Jehovah. They had served idols. They had broken the Sabbath. They had trusted in man. They had set aside marriage. And yet, here's a man sent of God, "God before whom I stand." I'm aware. He was aware. Hebrews 11, Moses, 40 years old, he could have been the king of Egypt. All the treasures of the world that was then his. And they're still talking about that world. They're still talking about Egypt and the pharaohs and the riches and the wisdom, apparently, of the Egyptians. And Moses turned his back on all of it. And we read this, verse 27. Moses saw him who was invisible. He sought the Lord. This must be a continuous resolution of the activity of faith, that we set the Lord before us. Not the television, not the iPad, not the iPhone, not Facebook, not friends, not Snapchat, not the world, not portfolios of finances, not styles, not trends, not money, not man's wisdom, not self. Not my desires, my happiness, what I want. Don't put those in front of you. Put the Lord constantly, always. Let us be determined to do this. It must be constant, not something that we do sometimes. When things are going well, we say, "Well, thanks, Lord." But when it's very hard, when apparently he deals with us contrary to his promises, we conclude. When everything is falling down around us, in every circumstance, in every day, all the day, in temptations, in poverty, in grief, in heartbreak, in burdens, in sickness, in pain, when we are hated, set the Lord before us constantly. I've used the word, this is an activity of faith. Faith is an activity. It is believing. By God's grace, faith is vigorous. Faith exercises itself in prayer and in the Word of God. Faith is energetic. Faith lays hold of. Faith presses on, in Scripture's language. Faith is active. By faith, set the Lord before you. Look to Christ's righteousness, as was shown to us in the water of baptism, the forgiveness of sins. There's my peace. There's my happiness. There's my acceptance. Set the Lord before you for justification. Set the Lord before you for sanctified life, for living a holy life in this world, of growing in grace. Of growing in grace as a parent and as a family. Set the Lord before you. And this is most satisfying. We will be content. Let us set the Lord before us always. Setting the Lord before us, therefore, brings us to that blessed preservation. Setting the Lord before us, when we do that, in verse 8, we discover something. He is at my right hand. When by faith we have seen him in front of us, what do we see? We see him at our right hand, and we conclude, I shall not be moved. Now, that's a very curious expression, because God is at my right hand. God is at my right hand. We've just been through talking about, in the catechism, God's right hand, and Jesus at God's right hand, and the honor that is Jesus, and the power that is Jesus. Now we're being told that God is at my right hand. He's at my right hand to serve me? Well, of course, it doesn't mean that he's at our beck and call. It means that he is there always to protect and to guide us. I want you to think of a blind person, and one who is strong and who can see is at his right hand. He's at his right hand. I want you to think of the aged, difficulty walking, and their loved one, their son, is at their right hand to help them over the threshold. I want you to think of a little girl in the right hand of her father to protect her. And she knows she's being protected because she's come to know the love of her father. He is at my right hand. He is the one whose strength will provide my needs. He will give me grace for every care, for every fear, and for every trouble. I shall not be moved. The church here will not be moved because the faithful God is at our right hand. We will not be moved, no matter the trial or the difficulty that the Lord is pleased to send. I shall not be moved. What a blessed promise of God's protection. And I remind you that the psalmist, David, was at that point that he had to face death. And he was thinking about it very vividly. And that's an enemy. That's our last, and that's a great enemy. But with the Lord before us and at our right hand, we say, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory, or my tongue, rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Set the Lord before you. We don't need to fear the future. Not fear, but we are called to know our God, to know him more and more, and by grace and faith, to set him. That's what we need to do. Set him. He who is preached to you in this church from the Holy Scriptures, the living, the true, the only, the faithful, our God, our God. Set him before you. In this church, will not be moved. He will keep us till he come. And he will keep your family. He will keep your marriage. And he will give you strength in that difficult way. He will. He is at your right hand. May all our senses, through faith, be focused on the Lord who is before us. Amen. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy word. On this night, O Lord, hear our prayers, as we were assured that thou would hear, always will hear our prayers. Thanks. Thanks for these 25 years of blessings and of a spiritual house and home. Thanks, Lord. Thanks. We could have our children, that we could have grown up by thy grace in this church. Thanks, Lord. Thanks for these triplets, Lord. Thanks for our marriage, for our children. Lord, thanks for everything. For everything comes from thy hand. And now, as we go forward, we ask of thee only one thing. Give us eyes, 20/20 vision, to see the Lord before us, and we shall not be moved. Amen.